Blog Talk Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good afternoon, rodeo fans. Welcome to the Making Eight Radio Show. I am your host, Scott Mesick. Tonight with me, got my partner in crime, Sneaky Wilson. Sneaky, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Scott. What about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. Excited about what we got going on this week, man. It's been a busy one. Been a lot of rodeo and got a lot of rodeo to talk about, man. So what do you think? We're going to kick the thing off right.
We're going to do it right, and I guess we need to start off with, you know, giving our condolences to the family of Josh Griffin down in Nacogdoches, Texas.
Yeah.
27-year-old bull rider that was killed this past weekend.
Yeah, that's a pretty big tragedy, man. Our hearts and prayers definitely go out to his family that, you know, I did see on there also that he had some kids involved, and, you know, it's a very unfortunate nature of our business that we're in. You know, I saw on one of the quotes that were posted actually on MySpace that, you know, somebody put down that this is for real. This is a real deal. It's not for everybody. And, you know, it's a tragedy anytime something like this happens. And, you know, it's a tragedy for the family, but at the same time, you know, he was doing what he loved. And, man, you can't bring a man down for being able to do that.
And,
so,
that was something the man, from what I understand, loved to do because he had overcome a lot of things when he was younger, a head injury when he was about 14 from a horse accident, and you know, just several things that this young man had overcome in the last few years.
Yeah, and, yeah, you're definitely right about that, Sneaky. I mean, that's it's a heartfelt thing. It's the nature of our business. And, you know, one thing we're going to do is, you know, we're all going to cowboy up. Well, you know, we'll keep him in our memories by all means, man. He'll always be an impact for everybody that he rode with. And, you know, but, you know, they know as well as he did, you know, that it's a dangerous sport, but we're going to do what we love. And, you know, those decisions that we make, man, we understand the consequences. That's for sure.
This is true.
So, how did your week? No, that's okay, man. How did your week go?
It's been going good. Just doing the work thing, you know, the four letter word.
Oh, I know, man. Don't we hate it all? Don't we hate it all? But hey, I'll tell you what, man. I couldn't be where I'm at today without it. So, you know, ain't nothing like getting a little jingle in your jeans, you know.
That's it. And you've got an exciting weekend coming up on us.
Yeah, you're right about that, man. We are definitely excited about being out the PBR event this Friday. We're debuting this show, and we're really excited. And speaking of our show, if you're interested in calling in and talking with us, got questions or comments about the rodeo and what's been going on, give us a call, 646-915-9940. You know, it's past 9 o'clock on the Eastern Standard Time, so if you're on the East Coast, want to give us a call, it ain't going to cost you anything but the minutes on your phone or your battery. So we'll definitely hit it up. I'm gonna start off talking a little bit about some of the stuff that's going on, Sneaky. I know that you actually got a big weekend with rodeos going on yourself. I mean, you're gonna be out all the way Is it going to be Mississippi? Is that where the Dixie Nationals are?
Yeah, it's going to be up in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm going to be up there this weekend and talking up your makingegg.com for you and getting around talking to some of the bull riders and probably getting back there with some of the saddle bronc and other rough stock cowboys and just having a good time.
Excellent, man. Well, definitely got to let them know about it and tell them to give us a call. We're anxious to hear from them, that's for sure. We're gonna set it off, man. On the note that we had with Josh Griffin, you know, there's been a lot of talk about what we can do as far as safety wise and things like that. And you know, I know firsthand that there ain't enough protection they can give you to keep from getting injured riding bulls. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. It's not like a football injury, am I right?
No, and you're right. And what makes this one so tragic is Josh was wearing a helmet and wearing a vest. And, I don't know all the details. I know he got up under the bull and the back feet stepped into his chest cavity. And, I don't know if it ripped the vest off. I don't know all the details yet, but he suffered some internal injuries.
Right.
But, you're right. I mean, there's not enough protection, you know. When I first started riding, you know, there wasn't no vest. The bullfighters like me actually used ski vests, you know, the life vests that ski when you use skiing because that was the closest thing they had.
Right. Wow.
And, you know, it has come a long way. You know, the new vest, you know, that started coming out in the early 90s, you know, Cody Lambert, Jay and Kay, you know, they all started, you know, putting out different types of vests. And, you know, it's kind of tit for tat which one's the best one, but all of them are better than nothing, so.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. I totally agree, man. Well, you know, there's a blog on the web, on the PBR website, and I'm going to do a little promoting for them because they're allowing us the opportunity to come down to their event and debut our industry, our outreach that we have. So, you know, I'm going to do a little bit of marketing for them. But I happened to scan across their website, and, you know, they had similar to what we're doing. You know, we're going to do it on an audio track, which will air next week, next Wednesday, you know, from the PBR. But we're going to have a chance to ask some riders and ask some fans some questions about the sport and try to give them the best answers we can. And one of the things they had here was, you know, you could ask Ty Murray several questions, and he would answer them for you as best he could. So, you know, you know, it was really exciting to see that and to hear his answers and hear his responses. But there was a lot, you know, of pretty good questions that were asked, and one of them in particular was, you know, when it says right here, it says, when are your guys going to make helmets mandatory? So the young kids coming up are wearing them now. It's time the PBR steps up and takes the lead. You know, and, you know, Ty Murray, I think, had a really good response. You know, and as a bull rider myself, I didn't wear one. If I go back into the competition, Lord willing, you know, if that's where I'm led to go, you can bet your bottom dollar I'll ride with one now. You know, but Ty says that he's a fan of the helmets and thinks they're a great idea, but, you know, it makes it very difficult to make them mandatory at this stage in the game. And, you know, I know you, when you had to ride, there was no difference from the time that I had to ride. When we entered that rodeo arena, man, we had to sign those waivers saying that we understood the risk. And, you know, they give it to us as an option, and it's our decision. And every one of us are grown men, you know, and we have decisions to make, when, you know, whether or not we put a seatbelt on in a car, you know. They're choices that we have, and we have to live with those consequences. And, you know, I think I would still be competing on a regular basis if I had been wearing a helmet during my last injury as well as the other two. I mean, I fractured my eye socket headbutting a bull, and I had my face stepped on by a bull that broke my jaw. And I tell you right now, man, I guarantee those two themselves would have a helmet would have been much safer. But it was a choice I made, and I have to accept those consequences. So, what's your deal on that, man? What do you think about those helmets?
I think that's an individual choice. I don't think the PBR is going to have to mandate it because, you know, since the PBR has been out, since the people started wearing the helmets, you're seeing more and more cowboys riding with them.
Right.
So, you know, a few years, everybody's going to be wearing them anyway, because if you look, you know, your high school associations are making them wear them. And these
yep.
kids that are coming up through the ranks now, they're already used to wearing them. You know, personal preference, I don't think I could wear one. You know, just I wouldn't like the enclosed feelings, and I've heard, talked to some cowboys that have tried them, and they don't like
yeah.
them. You know, it messes with their head and messes with the game. But, you know, 5 years down the road, PBR won't have to mandate them. They'll be wearing them, you know, because
yeah.
as the older crowd goes out, the guys that have come up that have been used to wearing them, they're not gonna have to mandate it. It's going to be a done deal.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sneaky. That really is. It makes a lot of sense. I think that as the years go on, and they slowly start bringing in these competitors that have grown up making it mandatory, they're going to feel that that's the best option for them. And you know, I totally agree with you there. I think that's a good point. And I think Ty Murray, like I said, he really had a really good response to it. You know, I think that you can't tell somebody they can't compete if they don't. You know, the injuries that we endure are not like football players by any means. You know, we take a lot more harder hits than football players do. And, you know, football players are hitting other football players, you know. They're not hitting 2,000-pound bulls. And that's a risk all in itself, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they it says here, I mean, Ty Murray's quote that he has on his answer was, you know, helmets do help with certain injuries, but they don't make this sport completely safe. And it goes on to say, trust me on that. I don't care what kind of helmet you're talking about. But like I said, I think it's something that's working itself out. And just like you said, Sneaky, I think it's going to be something that's just, people are going to grab onto it and just start doing it because they feel that that's what's safe. So,
yeah.
And that's a business decision, you know. I mean, we're in the business industry. I mean, we're making our own money, and we're making our own choices and making this thing happen for us, each one of us bull riders. So, like I said, if you got opinions about it, give us a call, 646-915-9940. It is a charge number, but if you're calling your cell phone, ain't going to cost you anything but your battery, so give us a ring. You know, Sneaky, I'm going to take a quick short break here. We're going to kick off some Chris Ledoux. You know, I don't want to dwell on it because it's a sad situation, but it's something we have to live with as bull riders. But the whole deal with Josh Griffin, you know, he's in a better place. And, you know, the prayer that we pray as bull riders, you know, is that, you know, we hope that when we have to meet our maker, that he's going to tell us our entry fees are paid. And from the sounds of it, that Josh Griffin was a great Christian man, and I have a feeling that the Lord told him, hey, your entry fees are paid for this one, bud. Jump on for eight, you know, and he's living a good style there. But there's certainly one less tornado, and so we're going to kick off a little bit of that, and we'll be right back. All right, Sneaky?
All right, we'll see you in a minute.
Billy John grew up just west of Waco. He used to bare-knuckle fight just for fun. He was wild as a Texas tornado and a bull-riding son of a gun. But one Saturday night down in Jasper, he drew a bull they called Dust Devil Rage. And that 2,200-pound hammer laid Billy John in his grave. Now there's one less tornado in Texas and a saddle that's empty tonight. There's one hell of a cowboy in heaven at that big rodeo in the sky. Oh, that big rodeo. My granddaddy rode in the 30s. He must have really been something back then. because all of my life I've heard stories about the buckle he didn't quite win. And though he never got over his losing, he's a bona fide hero to me. And Lord knows I'm sure gonna miss him, but I know he's in good company. Now there's one last tornado in Texas, and a saddle that's empty tonight. There's one hell of a cowboy in heaven at that big rodeo in the sky. Oh, that big rodeo in the sky. Now there's one last tornado in Texas, and a saddle that's empty tonight. There's one hell of a cowboy in heaven with that big rodeo in the sky. Oh, with that big rodeo in the sky.
All right, that one there was for Josh Griffin. All hearts and prayers go out to his family tonight as they deal with his tragic loss, but definitely understandable. So, Sneaky, did you have a chance to watch any bull riding this weekend?
Yeah, I was able to watch it Saturday night a little bit, and, I saw some great bull rides. I was impressed with a couple of bulls that are up and coming. I guess the ones I was impressed with most was Big T's and Tex that was in there, and because those son of a guns were bucking good.
Yeah, they sure were.
There were some good bull rides this weekend, Saturday night that I saw, and was thoroughly impressed with some of the young guys coming up, this weekend.
Well, I tell you what, there's been a whole lot of talk about it, about these younger guys, and they say every 4 or 5 years or so, you usually get a new generation of bull riders that are in there. And, of course, J.B. Mooney's been competing now. I believe this is his third season. And, man, what a competitor that guy is. I got a lot of respect for him. I think that he's the next Justin McBride. I don't think he's obviously there yet. He's got a long ways to go to fill shoes that are similar to his. But I think he's definitely on his way to being one of the next Ty Murray's or Justin McBride's in his own sense, because each one definitely have their own personalities. But the amount of dedication he has for the sport, I saw a lot in that kid, when they had the drawing, for the short go.
Yeah.
It didn't matter to him. He didn't want to hear anything. He wanted to know what the top rankest bull was so he could take him,
Yeah, he was disappointed Bones wasn't in the draw.
You're right about that. I have my own opinions about that one. I think that he was a little cheated because I think he had a really good opportunity to cover Bones this weekend. And maybe it's on the fact that Tom P has to put a little more money in his pocket now. Of course he didn't have to pay out to Guilherme Marchi because he did get bucked off. As much as so many people were rooting for him, Guilherme is you know, he's on such a rocky road right now, and you know, it's going to take him a little bit. It could happen it could happen this week in Tampa, you know. You know, Guilherme could start riding again like he did last year and be the competitor he was. But, you know, as it's been as of late, man, he hasn't been doing too well. So it's not surprising to me that he got bucked off, you know. Yeah, I think Tom Teague's got to put a little money in his pocket. And, of course, he wants people to draw to it, man. And they're going to do it live on NBC in Oklahoma the week after this one. So, you know, that's definitely something to look forward to. And I know myself, man, I'm not going to miss it. I think that is one of the all-time greats. And I personally think Mooney's going to cover him, man. What do you think?
Well, I went out on a limb last week and said Glaramy's going to do it, so I'm going to say JB's going to be able to do it this weekend. Yeah, I was 0-2 this past weekend. I pulled for the Cardinals and Glaramy, so
right.
Maybe next weekend will be a little bit better.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Well, don't get me wrong. You know, Glaramy had 4 seconds on him, but, you know, I could tell the minute they cracked open the gate that he just wasn't sitting, you know, as aggressive as what he normally would have sat, you know. You know, I'm not real sure what it is, you know. Shoot, man, maybe we'll ask him when we see him this weekend out there at the PBR, you know. But I don't want to piss him off either, you know. I think that, you know, he's got an uphill battle to fight to get back into competition like he did last year. But it can still be done, man. This season's just kicking off. It's still early. There's a long ways to go towards the finals in Vegas.
Yeah, I think he's going to go home, go back to basics, and before the year's out, we're going to see him coming back strong. Yeah, I got a lot of faith in the man, and yeah, he just come off of last year, you know, riding high, and, you know, starting out a new year, you know, I've seen a lot of the bull riders, the champions, you know, they do it, you know, they think that it's fixing to be easy because it's a new year, and then they start getting bucked off left and right, and then eventually they go back home. They go back to basics, and then they come out strong.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of him before the year's out.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you, man. I really think that he will. If you got an opinion or if you got something to offer up, you want to talk a little rodeo, give us a call 646-915-9940. Now, Sneaky, I don't know if you had a chance to watch that short go. In that final round Saturday night, but man, I got excited on those last three rides, you know, in that short go. You know, first they had Austin Meyer up, and of course he covered his, and of course then they brought in Chris Shivers, and it might have been vice versa. I think they brought in Chris Shivers, and then they brought in Austin Meyer. Man, what a way to feed off each other and just get kicked off, man. You know, they had, you know, JB came in and scored a 91-point ride. Chris Shivers came in, scored a 91-point ride right after, you know. And then of course, Austin Meyer coming in and making his ride. I was just amazed, man, how those guys fed off each other. And, of course, being around the rodeos, you know that happens a lot. You know, if one guy starts covering, man, that shoot, everybody will cover, you know.
Yeah, everybody thinks they got to step up to the plate.
Yeah, you're right, man. The level of competition is there, and make no mistake about it, man. There was definitely some heated competition going on between those guys because they were not backing down, and that was great to see. That was great for the sport, man, and it was just fun to watch. That was fun to watch. I like to see how they came about those. I just love it, man. That's why I'm in the business. You know, I love the sport, and I love when those things happen, you know. So I don't know, man. There's a few more things we got on the list. I don't know. I'm thinking about taking another break. We'll play some more bull ride music, and we'll come back and definitely talk a lot more. If you want to give us a call, 646-915-9940. Give us a shout. You got a question or a comment about the bull riding or rodeos coming up in your area? Want to give a shout out, talk some rodeo about, you know, one of the stock contractors or an association you're a part of. Hey, give us a call, man. We're open to take any suggestions you have. We're only talking about what we know. Ain't that right, Stinky?
That's it. That's all we know.
Yeah,
it ain't
a whole lot.
We know it.
No, you're right. I figured, well, hell, two heads are better than one. So, you know, we're doing a little better than we were. But we're going to break down some cowboy logic, man. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
There's a great American hero we all look up to. When the times are hard and chips are down, he knows just what to do. Now a cowboy's got a set of rules that he lives by day to day. If you ask for his advice, he'll more than likely say, if it's a fence, mend it. If it's a dollar bill, spend it. Or it burns a hole down in them jeans. If it's a load, truck it. If it's a punch, duck it. If she's a lady, treat her like a queen. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution just about anything. If it's a job, do it. Put your back into it. Cause a little bit of dirt's gonna wash off in the rain. If it's a horse, ride it. If it hurts, hide. Duck yourself off, get back on again. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. An old cowboy and a young buckaroo were working, riding fence. The old hand was testing the kid on his skills and his common sense. He said, son, if you've seen three men in a pickup, dressed alike from boots to hat, could you tell which one was the real cowboy just from where he sat? Well, the kid scratched his head a while and then he said, well, there just ain't no way to know. The old hand grinned and then he said, kid, you still got a ways to go. The real cowboy is the one in the middle. He ain't there just by fate. Cause first, he don't have to drive. And then, he don't have to mess with the gate. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. It's in the way he lives his life and the songs he sings. That's cowboy logic. Every cowboy's got it. He's got a simple solution for just about anything. He's got a simple solution for just about anything.
Yeah, all right, that was a little cowboy logic going on. So, Sneaky, what do you think about that one, man? That's one of my all-time favorites. You know, that song there makes a whole lot of sense. And I'll tell you what, I've had situations like that. You know, being the small guy sitting in the middle of a single cab pickup truck. By gosh, you know, I had to get stuck in the middle. I didn't have a choice. But I'll tell you what, when I started thinking about it, it wasn't such a bad idea, because when you're rolling in off them rodeos at 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to have to get out there and go open up that gate. So what do you think, man?
Well, you sure don't want to drive. You know, it makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like not squatting with your spurs on.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and I've been in those situations, because I always wound up the one having to drive at 3 o'clock in the morning, but because I was the one who usually had the vehicle.
Well, I ain't going to lie to you, man. When I was out doing these rodeos, of course, everybody wanted to ride with me rather than us take their vehicles. And, I mean, my traveling partner, we switched off driving a lot. But, man, I had the cowboy Cadillac. You know, that's what we called it. It was the perfect bull riding truck. And when we pulled in these rodeos, man, by God, they knew that the, you know, they knew that the real bull riders were rolling up in town. And, man, we had so much fun with it. But I totally have to agree with you, man. There's a whole lot of logic behind that song, and it makes a whole lot of sense. So if you got questions or opinions, you want to talk some rodeo, give us a call, 646-915-9940. Give us a shout. Say hey. Our phone lines are open, so don't hesitate. Sneaky, we're going to talk a little bit more about bull riding, man. You know, I did happen to see in the second round, do you happen to catch that Ross Coleman's ride?
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Yeah, he took that bull laying down in the chutes, man. You don't see a whole lot of that anymore.
Now, that's something we were talking about earlier. You know, that's something you hardly ever see, and especially on the, you know, on that level these days. You know, most of these guys these days, they want them standing up, looking just right. But he cowboyed up, took the bull like he was laying, and made a good ride. And I was impressed.
Yeah, I was too, man. You know, I understand why the bull riders want to have it just right. You know. I mean, shoot, we only got but a rope and a leg to hold on with, you know. We want to try to get ourselves the best advantage to cover that bull because, of course, they got money to put in their pockets, you know. At the same time, you know, if it don't matter, it don't matter, you know. And that's the way, when I went to Lyle Sankey's rodeo school, that's what they tell us, man, that you got a bull laying down the chute, hey, don't make a big deal out of it. Just take it, you know. And, you know, by George, he did. I was so impressed to see that. Man, that was really, you just don't see that. And that definitely stood out. See him take that bull laying down. You know, there's a lot of guys that, I mean, they, if the bull's not looking the right way, and don't get me wrong, I was on Blueberry Wine Sun at Lyle Sankey's Rodeo School in Homestead, Florida, and I was the first one in the gate. And I had a bull turn around, and he was only a two-year-old at the time, and he was looking inside, and when the guy opened the gate, he swung it fully open, so the bull turned around and inside the chute and came out, and I mean, he rocked my world, banging me up against the chute coming out. But so I like to have my bulls looking right, too, and kind of sitting right, but at the same time, you know, when they're laying down like that, you know, they're going to have to stand up. And whether that gate's open or closed, you know, they're going to have to stand up. So as long as you're ready for it. And to see Ross Coleman cowboy up like he did was just, man, that was good to see. You know, it don't matter what level of competition we're in, you know, we're all professionals. And, you know, he definitely made a cowboy move there and got a score out of it. So I was impressed. I was definitely impressed.
Yeah, I was too, and I think that's what Ross knew is he had a good bull, and he didn't want to waste.
Yeah.
You know, he knew what he had, knew what the bull would do, and he didn't want to waste him. And you know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, the guy, you know, the bull's laying down. You hardly see anybody take him anymore. You never see anybody jump one out anymore either. You know, a lot of times, you know, you get one that's shooting, fighting you bad, and you know what he's going to do when he comes out there. You know, he's liable to be a money bull for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just don't want to turn him out just because you can't get out on it, you know, sit down on him right. And, you know,
yeah,
it's been a long time since I've seen somebody jump one out, but I always loved to see somebody that knew what they were doing do it.
Now, for the ones out there that are fans just listening in, maybe don't understand the whole sport, when you say jump one out, what is exactly you mean?
Okay, you know, or for the fans out there, you know, most people see somebody sitting down on one that, you know, they bowed up on one when they call for the gate. Jumping one out, you're standing up over the bull, you call for the gate, and you just jump down on your hand and make a ride.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of good cowboys I've seen do that. You know, some people frown on it, but if you got somebody that knows what they're doing and knows how to make a good ride and they're confident in themselves, you know, something good, nice to see, especially if you got a bad shoot fighter, one raring up in the gate with you and whatever he wants to do, you know, because a lot of these bulls, when you go to sit down on their back, they, you know, they want to tend to act up, you know, they want to start fighting you in the chute. And, you know, the chute's one of the most dangerous places to get down on a bull, a bucking horse, any rough stock, actually. You know, that's one of the most dangerous places to be.
You're right about that.
But, you know, I've seen many a cowboy that didn't want to waste a bull that they knew was going to fix put some money in their pocket, and you know, they just jump him out is what we called it. And
right.
It's been a while since I've seen somebody do that, but I always love to see it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've never myself done it. Now, I've had a couple bulls that were young, either at the practice pens, you know, with the stock contractor just trying to get a feel of them, or at the rodeos, you know, riding in the smaller times, that's where they find out whether or not this bull's worthy enough to compete in the PBR. And we've been, yeah, I mean, you know as well as I do, man, those bulls that were at the North Carolina Invitational are not going to be, not all of them are going to be at the same, at, down here in Tampa. I mean, they don't travel, you know, week in and week out like these guys do. By George, you can bet that they're out bucking at another rodeo somewhere else, you know. So these bulls are getting worked every week. I mean, they're just as athletic, if not more, than some of these cowboys that are out there. A lot of times they don't get the luxury of saying, hey, I'm going to sit out this week, you know. If stock contractor feels that he's going. And, you know, you know how winded I could be, Sneaky, but to give you a little rundown, man. When I was at the school, that was what they preached to us too. And of course, being in the chute, that is the biggest place you get hurt. And boy, I didn't waste any time in there when I was competing, man. I actually shocked a lot of guys because they were waiting on me, or I was waiting on them, and they weren't ready. And I kept telling them, hey, when I slide up, I'm going. You know. There's no second guessing whether or not I'm ready. And that's why 2 weeks ago, you know, I was watching the PBR event, and I can't remember what rider it was, but he sat out there and played with his tail, you know, of his rope for, you know, he must have readjusted the tail of that rope and threw it over the bull's neck. He must have done that a dozen times. And he wasted more time doing that, still got bucked off, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that tail isn't going to make no difference, man. You throw it up over your lap or you throw it up over there. If it falls, it falls. You know, when you slide up, you can't adjust 100 times before you nod because it's not going to do anything to give you more time to think about it. And
all he was doing is making his hand tired. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Sitting there,
yep,
holding on that tight to that rope that long, you know. And that's probably why he got bucked off.
Yeah.
I will say this, you know, the bull laying down on the chute we were talking about a minute ago, I didn't like it because usually, you know, when a bull jumps out there, I always like to tight rope. You know, some of these guys now ride with a lot looser ropes, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
But, you know, when you get one laying down where you like it, I used to have to take a re-pull. You know, those things I understand, but...
Now, here's the thing, Sneaky. If that bull was standing up originally and you've got a good rope on him, you got your hand tied in and then that bull laid down on you, would you still feel confident enough to take him at that point?
If he was a good money bull, yeah. I mean, if I thought I had a good shot on him, yeah, I'd go ahead and take him. And I've done it.
Okay. Right.
But, yeah, if I could get him up, I'd try to get him up. If not, and that's kind of what happened to Ross Coleman. He kept laying down on him. So finally he took him. And,
right,
you know, if you can't get him up the first time or two, you know, go ahead and take him laying down if it's you know it's a money bull or if it's one that's going to put you in the next round.
Yeah. Well, like I said, if you got an opinion or you want to offer up some advice for any other bull riders out there, give us a call, 646-915-9940. I'm all for it, man. I agree 100%. It was still pretty cool to see because you just don't see it anymore, you know. It's just one of those rare things that you ever see anymore in the cowboy industry and in the bull riding, you know, especially. But I'll tell you what, I never wasted time in them chutes, man. When it was time to go and I slid down over my bull and had my rope, man, the minute I pulled up on it, I was nodding my head, you know. That way we didn't have to second guess it. But
you got to have your game on in there, and you can't second guess yourself. I mean, you know, once you get down, you got to go.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Go, you need to get off and go home. You know,
yeah.
That's kind of my my opinion on it.
Sure.
But,
sure.
Yeah, I always hated seeing a guy take his time and, like you're saying, play with the rope, stand up, set back down, you know. And there's time, not to get me wrong, you know, there's times that a guy has to do that, you know, if he's got one fighting him and the shoot's bad. But if the bull's standing there, pull it and go, you know, don't waste time.
Yeah, there's no mistaking that, man. That is definitely the right thing because I don't like being around that metal. I'll tell you what, I'll take my chances with just them four hooves and them horns that bull's got rather than having all that plus all that metal around him, you know. You know as well as I do, man, that you get banged up in there. And, you know, me being a smaller guy now, I don't know how big you were when you rode, Smiggy. But I know myself, man, I'm such a small guy that there's so much room to maneuver around, even when you got a bigger bull in the chute. Man, it didn't take much, and they were knocking me into the fences, and they were knocking me into them posts. I just didn't care to stay in there any longer than I had to.
Yeah, being a smaller guy actually has its advantages in the chutes when they go slamming you up against the side and leaning on you and whatnot. But, I've seen the bulls and the horses, because I rode saddle bronc a little bit. You know, they rear up. I've seen them fall back on top of cowboys. And, you know, there's two or three incidents I could talk about, where the cowboy was taking his time. He was wasting time in there.
Yeah.
And, if he'd come on out, you know, that bull wouldn't have reared up and fell back over on top of him. And, that's not a bad, not a good place to be. It's, you know, you don't want to be in there very long. And you can't make any money in there. I ride one in the chute all day long.
Yeah. Boy, you're right about that. I think any one of us can. If that's all we had to do to make money, I'd sit in that chute all day long. But, you're definitely right. Well, one of the other questions I had, man, that was brought up on the PBR website with Ty Murray, somebody asked him, is JB getting special treatment by the judges? And, that brings up another good point, man. Before I get into it, I want to make sure that you guys know, if you want to call in, if you've got questions or you got comments about what we're talking about, anything to do with sport or rodeo, we'll jump over and talk to you. 646-915-9940. So give us a call. Let's get this rodeo thing going here. We really want to hear from you guys. We want to get your opinion, whether you're a fan or a rider. You know, we really want to know that. But as a fan, somebody wrote in and asked Ty Murray, you know, is J.B. Mooney getting special treatment by the judges? And, Ty had a really – I mean, he almost sounded pretty offended by the question for starters, but he gave a very good response. And, you know, I just don't understand how people could assume that the judges could create an outcome for a rider, you know. Sneaky, what do you think, man?
Yeah, it's up to JB to make the 8 seconds. You know, when that bull shoulder passes the plane of that gate up until that 8 second whistle blows, it's all JB. That's him. You know, judges aren't doing it for him. Now, you know, his name may get him another point or two. You know, I'll give him that. But special treatment, you know, if that clock says 7.7 seconds, you know, he's getting the big goose egg. You know, that's all there is to it. You know, there's no way around that, you know, in this sport. You know, it's you either make the eight or you pick your rope up and you go home. And so special treatment, no, I don't think he's getting any. Yeah, I don't see that. I have to agree with Ty on that, because it was JB from the time the gate opened till time the whistle blew. And go ahead.
No, here's one of the things that Ty Murray said, and it really fits into place with that. It says, the reason I don't judge, and now this is Ty Murray talking, but it says, the reason I don't judge is that there are times I get caught up in things. It says that there are times I'll see a guy that bears down, and he might be upside down, and it may not be, you know, it may have been the best ride in the world or the best bull, but, it, you know, it's some guy that gave a gallant effort that gets me all fired up. And I'll probably end up marking him more points than he ought to be. I wouldn't be able to help it because it's my perspective. And, you know, those judges, I mean, they're human, you know. They're going to get wrapped up in emotions. You know, you can't have three 90-point rides and have the next one may not quite look like a 90-point ride, you know, it may not logically be a 90-point ride, but the guy really bared down and hung on with his fingertips and, you know, dug a spur in, you're going to give him pretty close to a 90-point ride because he just followed suit with everybody else, and that's how it went. I mean, we're all human. We make, you know, we make those judgment calls based upon our emotions, you know.
Well, yeah, that goes back to the judge's point of view. You know,
yeah.
Where some judges, you see a cowboy get in trouble, even though he makes a decent recovery, you know, the judge is still going to knock a couple of points off. Whereas if I'm judging and I see a great recovery, I'm going to give him another point because, you know, he buried up, he made a good recovery, and still covered his bull. Where the next judge may knock a point or two off. So it's kind of up to the individual judge when that comes around. You know, that's just an analogy of the situation, you know. And you see it happen day in, day out. You know, I've heard judges talk about it, and I've actually heard two of them talking, well, I took a point off because he got in trouble. And the other judge said, well, I give him a point, you know, because he made the recovery he did. So, you know, it's up to the individual judge, and judges are human.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, you know, a lot of our the bullfighters and comedy acts out there make fun of the judges being blind, but those guys, they know what they're doing, and they've got what they're looking for. And, you know, they wouldn't be out there judging those things if they didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the other things that Ty Murray comments on in regards to the question is, you know, it's not like football, baseball, or basketball where it's not judged. You know, I mean, there's a difference between the judged event that we have. You're taking a guy that may be partial to a particular bull rider and may give him a few extra points. Bottom line is it's still up to JB to make an 8-second ride. Otherwise, he don't get scored at all, you know. So, it's not like football or baseball or basketball where, you know, whether the ball went over the fence or not, it's black and white, you know. It's not an opinion. And, you know, the judges are not going to dictate who wins a rodeo when they get there. It's going to be up to those riders, you know, to make those 8-second whistles. And if it gets just a point or two higher for it, that's human nature, you know. You know, if you see a guy that came off like for instance, you know, Guilherme Marchi, man, if he would have ridden Bones, don't you think he'd have gotten a 93, 94, 95-point ride?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
And I mean, for all that, for you know, it really wouldn't have made a difference, man. Bones could have went out there and darn near laid down and been, you know, been something that should have came out of a practice pen for a beginner, you know. But he's still going to get a high score because look who Bones is. Bones is a bull that hadn't been ridden, you know.
The bull's name is going to get him a few points too. So that's another thing right there. You know, the judges are looking at, the crowd's looking at.
Sure.
And, you know, as far as, you know, people saying JB's getting special treatment. You know, the ones that ask that, I'd like to see them get on one, and then after they get off, tell me they got special treatment. You know, that's,
sure.
Yeah, I challenge them to do it. You know, and that's, they evidently, you know, I love our fans to death. We wouldn't have the sport without the fans, but, you know, that's just a challenge, you know. If you think somebody's getting special treatment, try it.
Yeah.
And I'll be right there with you, you know, because I love the sport, and, you know, I've heard people say, you know, I got on one, and I've got more respect for the guy that gets on one and gets off and says, you know, this ain't for me.
Right.
And the guy on down there that puts it down just because it's not for them, you know. The guy that tried it's the one I have a lot more respect for. So,
sure.
You know, there's no special treatment in this sport. You know, a name might get you a point, but that's all it's going to get you.
Yep. Yeah, you're right about that, man. There's, you know, it's the nature of the business. Like I said, I mean, we're all human, and it's humans that are judging it. But like I said, I really like to get some callers out there. We still got a little bit of time left in the show. 646-915-9940. That's 646-915-9940. You know, we're open. We got the phone lines open. We'll talk any kind of rodeo you want to talk about. But there's a lot going on, man. PBR is really getting underway here, and we're so excited that we're going to be in at the Tampa Invitational next week, or this Friday. That's coming up in 2 days. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it and explain it. You know, I'd really like to get some callers, whether you're a fan and maybe have a question for a particular bull rider or just a bull rider in general. We can actually ask that you know, bull rider's questions while we're out there. And we're going to re-air this show. You know, we're going to air our show to Wednesday night at 9 p.m. And we're going to play those interviews. So you're going to have an opportunity to listen to your question being answered. So if you have a question now, you can either email me, get a hold of me on MySpace, send me a message, and we'll get that question out to these bull riders. No guarantee we're going to be able to get it answered, but we're going to try our best. And, you know, so you don't want to miss next week's show either. You're going to be able to hear from the riders. You're going to hear questions that we're going to have for them. You're going to get to know a little bit about the riders that are riding in the PBR. And, you know, you're going to get to hear from some of the fans that are at the PBR event. And hopefully, you know, to get everybody excited. You know, that's our motivation. We really want to promote the sport itself, and that's what our goal is. So you don't want to miss next Wednesday's show. And, Sneaky, you going to be with us?
Oh, I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere.
Excellent, man. Well, I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to that. We want to hear from, you know, about what you have going on Saturday at the Dixie Nationals as well. I mean, that's we want to hear about these smaller rodeos just as well as we do the big rodeos. So make sure you take some notes out there, Sneaky. Write them down so you don't forget them, because I know at your age you got the dementia thing going on with the forgetfulness. Am I right?
Well, I don't call it Alzheimer's. I call it old timers, you know.
Old timers, there you go.
Yeah, I got the old timers disease nowadays, so I have to take my notepad with me.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, just hope I don't forget my pencil this time.
Yeah, don't forget your pencil either, man. I'll tell you, if we gotta get a little sticky for you and remind you. Shoot, for that matter, I'll give you a call and just make sure you remember. But, we definitely can't have that, man. We're anxious to hear about it. And like I said, if you got a comment or you want to talk about something in your area, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 646-915-9940. That is our Blog Talk Radio guest call-in number. It is different from my phone line. My number is available during the week. So if you have something you want to talk about off air, you got something going on, you want to get in touch with us, feel free to contact me that way. But, Sneaky, we definitely got to thank Blog Talk Radio for setting this thing up, man. I have had so much fun, and I've enjoyed having you on with me, man. It's been really good.
Yeah, I've actually had more fun, you know, tonight than I have all week long, to be honest with you. It's been a blast, you know, just sitting here talking to you, and you know, I wish we could get some of our fans to call in, talk to us. You know, I love hearing from them. So
yeah, you're right, man. Well, we're gonna keep. No, that's all right, man. We're gonna keep right on going. You know, we know that they're out there listening, and, you know, each week, man, I think we're getting more and more people on the website listening in. Hopefully we'll get more guys excited about it. You know, last week we did a Tuesday night show, and I don't know if it's the day of the week that's changed that makes it a little bit more difficult, but, you know, we're gonna definitely do what we can to make this a regular deal. We just want to find the right time that's going to be easiest on everybody, you know. We want to make time for you, but we got to make time for everybody that's involved. So, still got some time, 646-915-9940. Give us a call. In the meantime, I think, Sneaky, I'm going to go take a little break. We'll play some more country music here, and we're going to get, we'll get things fired up as soon as we get back. How about that?
It works for me. See everybody in a little bit.
my passion pride. To pain and beauty's no stranger, but his lust needs to be satisfied. Hook on an 8-second ride. That roars and burns. He's got his spurs on the heels of his boots. He's at the point of no return. Climbing over that chute gate, he settles down inside. The tension's rising, but he can't wait until they turn that bull outside. He's addicted to danger. Satisfied, hooked on an 8-second ride. Hooked on an 8-second ride. Hooked on an 8-second ride.
That was a little bit more Chris Ledoux. Doing that Sneaky's request, I was talking to him earlier, and Sneaky, I know you told me you like some Chris Ledoux, so we got a lot of him. Reason why I'm such a big fan of his is because of the fact that he actually rode himself. I know that he tried to ride the bull riding, it wasn't his deal, but he did it. He sings about it, and he writes some songs about it, and he sings about true rodeo life, and that's one of the things that really gets me about him. So I know I'm just like you, man. I'm a huge fan of Chris Ledoux, so we had to break it down, but that was just for you, Sneaky.
Well, I appreciate that. I've been a fan of his for a long time, and the first tape I ever had of his, I actually bought from him at the Dix National, where I'm going to this weekend. He rode there. I guess I was about 14 years old and bought an old 8-track tape. Tell you how old I am, but that's how I got turned on to him. He was a great man. World champion bareback rider. So he was there. He was one of a kind there. And I kind of miss him.
Oh, that's for sure.
He's gone.
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, he is certainly missed, man. I'll tell you what, I had the pleasure of when I was stationed out in California, we had a rodeo arena there, and we had a yearly rodeo that took place within the military, and he was actually there performing, doing some songs and all, and I actually couldn't make the event, but my house was not that far away, and it sat on top of a hill where the rodeo arena was down below. And got to sit up there and actually listen to hear him play, was just phenomenal. And I've seen a lot of his shows, watching a lot of the videos and whatnot. I'll tell you what, man, that man could get it. And he was a true cowboy, a legend, and in all aspects. So, he sang country, but he was country. And that's what I like about him.
Yeah, and that, he was... Yeah, he lived here in Mississippi for a while. You go back to some of his roots. If you ever read his book, his dad was in the Air Force and stationed down in Biloxi, Mississippi. And that was another thing he had going for him for me, He's kind of a good old Mississippi boy.
Okay.
I've always loved his music, what he sang about, and Yeah, over the years, I bet I've had every album he ever produced, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it, like you said, he's sorely missed around nowadays, but was definitely one of a kind.
Oh, yeah, there's no mistaking that, man. Well, we still got some time on the radio, you know, doing this broadcast, 646-915-9940. So, you know, if you're interested in giving us a call, talking some rodeo, you know, we are live. We are here to answer your questions. We are here to allow you to get some comments about the sport of rodeo. If you see something changing or if you see something that you agree with or disagree, give us a call, 646-915-9940. We want to hear from you. You know, Sneaky, you know, leading up, like I said, this PBR event, man, you know, we really want these fans to get out there and get involved. You know, I know between myself here at the PBR and you being over in Mississippi doing the Dixie Nationals, covering that event for Making Eight, that we're going to have some certain listeners and we're going to have a lot of fans jumping on, getting out there, finding out more about bull riding. And that's what we want to do is we want to educate. We want to help guys get involved in the sport and so they can carry it on. What do you think?
I agree. And I think I'm getting the better end of the deal this weekend. You know, I'm going to a full rodeo where you're just going to the bull riding. You know, we've got my favorite events, you know, is barrel racing, you know. Fast women, pretty horses, you know, you can't beat it.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. There ain't nothing like watching the barrel race. Now, I'll be honest with you, man, you know, and of course, bull riding is last, and usually barrel racing comes right before it. But, you know, about that time is when we're rising up them ropes and getting our spurs on and making sure we got everything ready to go. And as they start loading them bulls in the bucking chutes, man, we're getting our ropes tied down and getting things ready to go. But, I'll tell you what, man, when I had the opportunity to stop in and watch them, it was great to watch. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, man, them full rodeo events, you know, I liked a lot of the tie down. I liked a lot of the you know, the steer wrestling. Those were some of my favorites, man. I used to really get involved. But now I can't see jumping off a horse running daggone 30, 35 miles an hour onto a bull and then trying to stop him and take him down. Man, a guy my size just ain't cut out for that, that's for sure.
You know, I actually tried it once, and I'm a little guy. And I come off the horse good, grab a hold of the steer good, and from the point that I planted my heels to the other end of the arena, there was two good marks going all the way down because he drug me all the way down. I just didn't have enough lead in my pocket at the time to throw him like some of those guys do. And, you know, those guys are some athletes too, you know.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, you know, the thing that sticks out to me is everybody says, well, did you ride in the PBR? And, you know, the PBR is built up of professional bull riders. And it's an association for bull riding that, you know, has developed to make money for the bull riders and to help cover their expenses and to help publicize the event itself. But, you know, I mean, I rode in the PCA, you know, which is the Professional Cowboy Association. And, of course, that's a full rodeo event. You know, that's a full sanctioned an association where they cover all the events. But, you know, there's professional cowboys and cowgirls even in your small towns. And, you know, people are missing out on the opportunities, man. The Southern States Bull Riding Association, which is one of the ones that I covered, Brian Corson, who's a PBR rider, rides in those events on a regular basis. You know, he goes out and hits three rodeos a weekend. I mean, he'll hit two PBR events, and then he'll come home and ride one down here for the Southern States. So, you know, these guys that are missing out on these opportunities to hit some of these smaller rodeos, you're still meeting some of the top-notch riders. And there ain't no mistake that you're seeing them ride the same caliber of bulls that you see there because a lot of them are the same ones, you know. So
that's true. The PCA was the first association that I actually held a card with as a bullfighter.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's one that I don't know if you know the gentleman Herbert Terrio was a world champion calf roper, and you see him a lot at the PCA events still today. You know, he's a guy from here in Mississippi, and Yeah, he actually has put on a few PCA rodeos, but great guy, and you'll see him at a big rodeo out in Texas, and then you'll turn around and see him around here at one of the PCA events, and a lot of people that pass up the small rodeos, they're passing up some of the big names, too, that are actually, close to home, or they've been somewhere Friday night, and, hey, I'm going to stop at this one, on my way home, and for Saturday night, or vice versa, and...
Yeah.
A lot of, and they're missing a lot of good excitement too, because there's just as much excitement at a small rodeo as there's a large one sometimes. So.
Oh, you're right about that, man.
I encourage fans to go out to all of them. Go to as many
as you can. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, Sneaky. There's a lot of great opportunities to see some great riding events. A lot of people, are sort of steering away because, as we talked about last week, a lot of the rodeo events are breaking off into their own, their own association. The events themselves, like for instance, the calf roping or the team roping, they come out with their own associations now, just promoting that particular event, Man, there ain't nothing like going to a hometown, just a full rodeo, and watching both cowboys and cowgirls get involved. And, making eight, we're geared towards bull riding because that is what we know. But we also have been, my first card that I got was to the PCA. I mean, I got a PCA card so I could attend most of their events, and that's where I started riding on a competitive level. I'd hit the jackpot rodeos close to home. And when I could get out on the road, it was the PCA that I was going with, or the SRA and the Southern States Professional Rodeo Association. There's several of them, and the guys that I'm riding with out there at these smaller events, because they're local events and they're not in cities, they're coming to towns near you, a lot of those guys that were bull riders there are riding in the PBR, So there's no difference between those guys and the guys that you see at your local rodeo. And I know that when I was out competing, and a little kid walked up to me and asked me for an autograph, he didn't ask me because I was a guy in the PBR. He asked me because I was a guy that had the courage to get on those bulls and actually ride them, And we were heroes in those kids' eyes. And it doesn't matter how big or how small the association is that you're riding for, you're still a hero to some of those younger cowboys. And that's what it's about, man. So that's what Making Eight is really about. We want to promote those events, and we want to promote, we want to promote their sports as well. We want to promote the barrel racers. We want to promote the calf ropers, I unfortunately didn't learn how to swing a rope till about 3 or 4 years ago, I grew up on horses, but never learned how to swing a rope. So it's just one of those things, man. I have to talk about what I know, and that's what I promote. But we're more than happy to take calls and get information for you. If you're interested in learning about it or getting involved with it, we'll get you the answers. I mean, that's what we're dedicated to do. Am I right?
That's it. If we don't know, we'll come up with a good lie, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? My thing is, hey, we'll get you in the right direction.
We'll find out for you.
That's right. I'll turn around and we'll face you in that direction and give you a kick in the pants and get you over that way. So if you're interested in calling, you got a comment or question, 646-915-9940. You definitely don't want to miss next week's show. If you've got a question for a particular bull rider, if you've got a question about bull riding in general and you want to get it on our radio, by all means, call me up during the week. Send me an email. We got 2 days left before the PBR event. I'll check my emails all the way up until it's time for me to head down there. So give us a shout. Give us a question, and we'll write it down with your name on it, and we'll ask those bull riders your question. So it's a great opportunity for you as a fan to get involved in the sport, and that's what we're trying to do here as well. We want to get you involved because we understand as competitors, as athletes, that you guys are the ones that are filling our pockets, and you guys are helping us get down these roads a lot easier. Am I right, Sneaky?
If it wasn't for the fans up there, you know, there wouldn't be no sense in having a rodeo.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just, you know, the money aspect. You know, the fans get the guys going, you know, get the blood pumping. And, you know, if you got one or two people sitting up there, the guy's just not going to try as hard. But if you got a packed house, you know, that guy, he's going to bear down and he's going to try. You know, he's going to give it his all. And,
yeah, you're right.
He's going to give a lot more of it because he always give you all, but you just seem to dig a little deeper, you know, when there's a packed crowd.
Yeah.
And it's that's what the fans don't understand. You know, they're there to view, but, you know, they need to stomp their feet, clap their hands, hoot, holler, scream, yell, you know, and get things going and have a good time.
Well, I don't know about you, Sneaky, but I know when I go out to the PBR event, man, I'm going to be cheering, and I'm going to be hollering for them, and I'm going to be back there behind the bucket shoes getting them pumped up. And we're going to get out there in the crowd. I'm going to get out there with the fans, and we're going to talk with them. We're going to get them excited about what they're watching and who they're watching. And, you know, we just are really looking forward to this opportunity that we're going to have. Really looking forward to the opportunity that PBR is giving us, but we're excited about what Making 8 Outreach is really doing, and that's getting out and reaching out to everybody involved in the sport. Doesn't matter whether you're a fan or a rider, that's what Making 8 Outreach is reaching out to you. So hey man, we're gonna break it down. I'm gonna play one more rodeo tune, I think, take a quick break. We're gonna come back and close this thing out. What do you think?
That sounds good.
Alright, we'll take a break and be right back.
Cowboy down with the gleam in his eye, they can't afford to go down. Well, put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has ridden his last seven bulls, and tonight he's gonna try and make it eight. Bum, 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 here comes the bulls down.
right, everybody. We're back. A little bit of Buck with Sonny Ledford. So, you know, got to break that down for him. Now, Sneaky, I was just talking to you while the music was playing, and you were asking me about a rodeo. You want to know when the PBR is coming to your town, right?
That's right.
Well, let's see what we got down here. I'm just looking at the it doesn't look like the Built Ford Tough Series is going to be up in the area this season. At least they don't have it booked as of yet. I'm just scanning through here. I'm not seeing much of anything from Mississippi, to be honest with you, man. There's several of them. They're going to be in Monroe, Louisiana. They were already there. I'm just trying to scan down here. I could be overlooking it as well, but you know what? April 17th and 18th, they're going to be in South Haven, Mississippi.
Okay, that's right outside of Memphis. I might be able to make that one for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, we're all about it, man. We'll definitely look and trying to get Sneaky with Making Eight out there. Hopefully he won't wear his dress. Last I heard, he was wearing dresses out there, and hopefully we keep that down there. Right, Sneaky? You won't wear a dress out there for us, right?
Well, we're not going to show the pictures of it anyway.
There you go, as long as we keep them pictures down. All right, Sneaky. Well, hey, listen, man, I really enjoyed having you with us tonight. It's been a great time, as always. Got to get some callers out there. Definitely tune in. Shoot, for that matter, the PBR is going to be on versus Saturday night, 8 p.m., so if you get a chance, you don't want to miss it. If you get a chance, you may happen to see Making Eight and Making Eight Outreach out there. Get a chance to check us out live working at the PBR event. We're excited about it. I can't wait. I know that Sneaky, you're gonna have fun out there and have a good time out at the rodeo you're going to on Saturday.
I'll probably be up there all weekend, it's looking like. So,
okay.
Like I said, I'll be hanging out at the back of the chutes and talking to some of the bull riders and rough stock hands and
there you go,
the
man.
Crowd some and just having a good old time. It's been a couple of years since I went up to that one, and anxious to get back up there and see some old faces and meet a few new ones.
That's right. That's what it's all about, man. It's still small time, still family oriented, and that's why we love rodeos. So, hey, listen, tune in next week, next Wednesday, 9 p.m., same time. We can pull out the old Batman slogan, you know, same bat time, same bat channel. Don't miss next week's show. You're going to want to hear some of these riders. You're going to want to hear Sneaky and I both out at these rodeos, talking about what we're seeing, what's going on in the rodeo community. Listen in, give us a call, you know, call us on the show. We want to hear from you guys. So, Sneaky, definitely enjoyed it, man. It's been a great time with you. Look forward to hearing from you, and we'll talk about it next Wednesday for sure. What do you think?
Works for me, and I enjoyed it, and glad you keep having me back. So thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely, Sneaky. Well, we wouldn't have it any other way, man. We're gonna close out one more tune. Want to thank everybody for listening in today. Want to thank Blog Talk Radio in particular, and definitely the PBR for allowing us the opportunity to go to our website. Hey, don't forget, check our website, check our shop, because our shop is going to be up and running after we debut Friday night. So you definitely want to tune in, check out our Making Eight gear, look into buying our stuff now, because we've got our T-shirts, we've got our long sleeve riding shirts. We're breaking out. I mean, Making Eight is underway. So you guys hang in, tune in, and get a grip. We'll talk to everybody next Wednesday.
God bless.
On the back of a big cut getting tore up from the floor up.
I'm gonna push my luck.
Pull the gate and try to make
8 on an earthquake high stake. It makes your bones ache. Hey, hey. I'm losing all control. You know I'm gonna stomp, kid. I gotta get a good grip and set it off like a rocket. Yeah, I'm going to the moon and back again. Baby, what a wild trip. I'm crack-a-lacking like a bull. Like nitro, gonna blow up like pyro, baby, for the big show.